I received a call from God the other day. I was just a young person. He spoke to me and said, my child, you are mine. You must work and you must preach. Do you know the secret of prosperity? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these things that people seek for, I will give them all to you. I'll go where I have to go, preach what I have to preach, have the maximum impact, yeah. I'll go where I have to go, I preach what I have to preach, I will have the maximum impact, yeah. Blessed is the man whom God chooses and he causes to approach. He shall be satisfied with the good of the house and of thy holy temple. Oh, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that one thing will I seek for, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord and behold the beauty of the Lord. I'll go where I have to go, preach what I have to preach, have the maximum impact, yeah. I'll go where I have to go, I'll preach what I have to preach, I'll have the maximum impact, yeah. Do you know the secret of prosperity? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Oh, and all these things people seek for, I will give them all to you. He shall also bless the water that you drink. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Blessed is the man whom God chooses and he causes to approach. He shall be satisfied with the good of the house and of thy holy temple. Oh, I'll go where I have to go, and I'll preach what I have to preach. Oh, I'll go where I have to go, preach what I have to preach, have the maximum impact, yeah. I'll go where I have to go, I'll preach what I have to preach, I will have the maximum impact, yeah. Go. Will you preach what you have to preach so you have the maximum impact? Yeah. Whoa, I'll go where I have to go. Preach what I have to preach. Have the maximum impact. Yeah. Oh, I'll go. Oh, I'll preach. Yeah. Have the maximum impact. Ready at 20, ready for the war. I'll be ready at 20 for the work of God. There is nothing I can't do for the Lord. There is nowhere that's too far. No battle I can't fight. Ready at 20. Let's give ourselves to this glorious mission unreservedly. Let us never think that our time, our strength, our families are our own. Let us dedicate them all to God and to His Word. Let us give ourselves wholly, that our profiting may appear. Ready at 20. I'll be ready at 20, ready for the war. Ready at 20. I'll be ready at 20 for the work of God. We justified in staying here while so many are perishing without means of grace in other lands. We must take every chance of doing good to the lost. Oh, we will be laboring, we'll be traveling day and night. Ready at 20. I'll be ready at 20 for the work of God. We must instruct, we must teach, exhort, rebuke, and preach the word with all long suffering, oh yeah, and an anxious desire for the lost. Oh, we must be instant in prayer for the pouring out of the sweet Holy Spirit upon all the people. Ready at 20. Yeah. I'll be ready at 20, ready for the war. Ready at 20. I'll be ready at 20 for the work of God. It is worthwhile to push ourselves with all our might in promoting the gospel and the kingdom of our Christ. Ready at 20. Oh yeah. I'll be ready at 20, ready for the war. Ready at 20. I'll be ready at 20 for the work of God. God is gracious. Do not run away from Him. A few more days and our work. Your life spent is irrevocable. It remains to be contemplated, yeah, through all eternity. Ready at 20. Yeah. I'll be ready at 20, ready for the war. Ready at 20. I'll be ready at 20 for the work of God. The days go by and they are gone forevermore. It is too late to mend the days that are past. Let's resolve that each passing day will be met with such usefulness. Each day must be clothed with such a garment that we will love to wear for all eternity. Oh, I'll be ready at 20, ready for the war. Ready at 20. I'll be ready at 20 for the work of God. Will you be ready? I'll be ready at 20, ready for the war. Oh, I'll be ready at 20, I'll be ready to fight. I'll be ready at 20, I'll be ready to serve. Will you be ready at 20, ready to pray? Will you be ready at 20, ready to witness? Will you be ready at 20, ready to build the church of God? Oh, will you be ready at 20, ready to travel, ready to labor, ready to preach, ready to teach, ready to exhort, ready to instruct, ready to rebuke, ready to reprove, ready to serve and ready to help and ready to build and ready to praise and ready to sing? Are you ready to build? Are you ready for war? I'll be ready at 20, ready for war. your life is done. If you love me, obey the Great Commission. Yeah, build churches everywhere. In every town, every province, every city. Yeah, South Africa shall be saved. But tell me how long. For you to obey me, I have a feeling that I'm waiting in vain. Oh, oh, for you to do my will. Oh, oh, I have a feeling that I'm waiting in vain. Oh, oh, for you to do my will. That's why I'm asking. Your vision must be big. But listen, all you do does not lead to church growth, because your mind is on other things. All you say, Lord, bless me now. Bless me and prosper me today. So I've been thinking to myself, it seems I'm wasting time on you. So I wanna change. I'm gonna change your position, replace you, and bring in someone else. Because I have a feeling that I'm waiting. I'm just waiting in vain. For you to obey me, yeah. I have a feeling that I'm waiting in vain for you to do my will. That's why I keep asking, am I gonna wait in vain for your love? Oh, tell me, am I gonna wait in vain for your love? I wanna know now. Why don't you wanna move? Why don't you wanna change? Oh, change. Your heart is baby, you would work much harder now. But I have a feeling that I'm waiting, I'm just waiting, I keep waiting for you to do my will. Corolla, I have a feeling that I'm waiting in vain for you to do my will. God is asking, is he gonna wait in vain for your love? He wants to know, is he gonna wait in vain for your love? Oh, is he gonna South Africa, is he gonna, is he gonna, is he gonna, is he gonna, is he gonna wait in vain? Oh, 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 is he gonna, is he gonna, is he gonna, is he gonna, is he gonna? He wants to know, is he gonna, is he gonna, is he gonna, is he gonna, is he gonna wait? He's been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. Is he gonna wait in vain? Is he gonna, is he gonna, is he gonna, is he gonna? You see, every time I sing this song, is he gonna, is he gonna, is he gonna, is he gonna, you get up and you come right in front here. Is he gonna, is he gonna, is he gonna, and you do your special dances, you do your special dances. Is he gonna, but I really need you to know something. Is he gonna, is he gonna, is he gonna, is he gonna? God really wants to know, he really wants to know, he really wants to know, he really wants to know. When will you build a church? When will you witness? When will you pray? When will you go? When will you travel? How long? Yeah, yeah. Is he gonna, is he gonna, is he gonna, is he gonna? It's not just about dancing, yeah, yeah. It's not even just about singing the song. Is he gonna keep singing, keep singing, keep singing, keep singing, and keep singing, but you gotta do something for Jesus. Is he gonna, 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 is he gonna wait in vain? You heard the news, I've been found by a brother. I wanna learn how to be a virtuous woman and be good to my man, in secret and in public. I want to obey what the word of God says. I wanna be a virtuous woman. 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 Listen, there are so many different kinds of women. I know I could be any kind of a woman. I could be an angry woman. I could be a brawling woman. Just woman, I could be a contentious woman. Oh, 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 oh. But I'm gonna be a virtuous woman. 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 What kind of woman are you gonna be? God is gonna judge you. Is gonna judge you for the way you've been and how you treat your man. What kind of woman are you gonna be? God is gonna judge you. God is gonna judge you for the way you've been and how you treat your man. Oh, 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 oh. I'll be strong, I'll be wise, I will look well to my house. I will not be lazy, I will not be idle. I will dress in silk and purple. My husband is gonna praise me. Hey, yeah. Oh, I'm gonna be a virtuous woman. I'm gonna be a virtuous woman. Say, I'm gonna be a virtuous woman. Oh, oh, oh. What kind of woman? Be good to him all the days of my life. I'll wake up early. I'll be hardworking. I'll bring him food from far. I'll gird my loins with treasure. Do you promise? Say, I'm gonna be a virtuous woman. I'm gonna be a virtuous woman. What kind of woman are you gonna be? Say, I'm gonna be a virtuous woman. What kind of woman are you gonna be? I'm gonna be a virtuous woman. Oh, what kind of woman are you gonna be? I'm gonna. Ladies, lift your hand up. Say, I'm gonna be a virtuous woman. I'm gonna be a virtuous woman. You gotta mean it. I'm gonna be a virtuous woman. I'm gonna be.
Bye-bye. Go and sit down, go and sit down. All right. Chapter 22. We just have a few minutes, but I'm going to share something. Readily embrace new ideas. Isaiah 43 verse 19. Five examples of new things God does. God embarks on new projects. Behold, I do a new thing. Amen. Isaiah 43 verse 19. Just a quick point. In the earlier service, I mentioned that there were only 258 people from the church here registered, but I was told afterwards that there were much more, almost 1,000 people from the church here. So just to, it's a good place to put your hands together. Now, readily embrace new ideas. One, God embarks on new projects. He says, I do a new thing. Number two, God gives new languages. It says here, these signs shall follow me. They shall speak in new tongues. Number three, God gives brand new instructions to his servants. A new commandment I give to you. So God is doing a lot of new things. Amen. Number four, God makes us into brand new people. When a man is in Christ, he's a new creature. And number five, God makes new agreements. He issues fresh calls for people. So don't be opposed to new ideas. I find from my experience, when I come up with a new idea, people just laugh. And they seem to find me so odd. But it's important to embrace new things, new ideas. Amen. So let us be open to new things that you don't know about. Amen. How many are enjoying Ida's music? That is a new type of gospel music that we are having and we are enjoying. So embrace new ideas. Songs that preach. If you listen to this last song she sang, I want to be a virtuous woman, you by all means be a good wife. In the song, it says, I'll bring him food from far. And some of us, even the kitchen which is near, you can't bring food from near. So please, embrace new things. God is doing new things. Chapter 23, value people. It's very important that you place a value on people. Don't be somebody. By the way, all this is in the book, The Art of Leadership. I'm just reading the book to you. So actually, I could send you an email of the book if you want. Value people. Ruth was worth more than seven sons. So people have different values. Ruth 4:15 says, and he shall be unto thee a restorer of life, for thy daughter-in-law which loveth thee is better to thee than seven sons. So Ruth is worth more than seven sons. So if you have one Ruth, you've got more than seven boys. There are some daughters that are worth more than seven sons. Yes. There are some daughters worth more than seven sons. There are people that work for me as daughters. Some of them are worth more than seven sons. It's true. That one person. So, you must know the value of people. And when you know the value of something, you may not just throw it away. We had a town in Ghana. I'm sure you have some in South Africa. Do you have it in South Africa? A catapult. They put a stone in it. What is it called here? Snake. Three. K. Okay. K3. There were stones on the ground and they put it in. And they were putting diamonds and like that. Because they didn't know it was diamonds in the town. Because the diamonds are all over. You see it on the ground. So you see a bed and you are holding 2.2 million pounds. Why? Because you don't know the value of what you are throwing away. So watch out. Sometimes getting rid of one person in your life and your ministry can actually change your whole ministry. William Branham, a prophet, he had a man called Gordon Lindsay who helped him to organize his prophet. He, as a prophet, you know, prophets tend to be more spirit-oriented, so they are not too much into organization. But Gordon Lindsay was into the organization and did everything for him. But at a point, there was something, and they parted. Gordon Lindsay went, and Branham continued. From then, his ministry changed. When Branham died, he was in debt to tune thousands. And somebody who doesn't like money, doesn't want, if you want to see a prophet who is not into money, Branham, William Branham. But by the time he died, he was owing so many problems. His whole ministry changed when he disconnected from God in Lindsay. So you must know the value of people, and you let one person go out of your life who is important. More than 7 children are gone. All right? So Ruth was worth more than 7 sons. There are people that I tell you, and why would God be saying value people? Because you may not know their value. Some people only value those businessmen who come driving Range Rovers and expensive cars. Then say, oh, this man is important. There are people who have nothing, but they are very important. So it's important to value. Ruth had nothing when the man told this woman, this is your daughter, is worth more than 7. And it wasn't her biological daughter. So there are people, they're not your biological daughter, but it's worth more than. Number 2, Elkanah, the husband of Hannah, was worth more than 10 sons. Then 1 Samuel 1:8. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why are you crying? Why eatest thou not? Why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? So there are some husbands that are worth more than 10 sons. I'm coming to you. One day, I don't know what happened, but something just occurred to me. And I was with some people in Korea. And I called them and I said, I'm going to ask you a question. And I want you to answer. Shall I tell you the question I asked them? I asked them, I said, if somebody has to die in your family. They were all ladies. They were all married ladies. If somebody in your family has to die, who would you nominate? Your husband or your child? Shall I tell you the answer that they were given? Some husbands were shocked that they were nominated. You let you die. So when you go home, go and ask your wife who they will nominate. And you'll be surprised that the I love you is not as strong as you thought. So, oh, let him die. It's okay. You should go. It's too much problem anyway. I'll look after the children. Ask. You'll be surprised at your answer. So there are husbands that are worth more than 10 sons. Number 3. David was worth more than 10,000 ordinary Israelis. 2 Samuel 18 verse 3. But the people answered and said, 2 Samuel 18 verse 3, thou shalt not go forth, for if we flee, they will not care. Neither if half of us die, they don't care. But now thou art worth 10,000 of us. Therefore now it is better that thou succor us out of the city. There are some people that are worth more than 10,000 people. You will not know. Often these people have to die before you know that he was worth 10,000. Yeah. When he's dead and you see that, things are different. The pastor of a church is worth more than 10,000 members, I'm telling you. Let all the members go. He will make the members come back. Or a new set of members. Yes. So that is why when you value people, you know, you have to teach the congregation. I can preach this on a Sunday. You have to teach the congregation to know the value of people. Yes. But they don't know the value. So every year, you must celebrate Galatians 6:6 Sunday, which is where you honor the one, your pastor, who is teaching you. Galatians 6:6, let him that is taught communicate to him that teacheth in all good things. You must do it. Every church. If you are a pastor, I can't come to your church to enforce it. Go and do it. Announce it in the church. I'm the pastor. Tell them that you are worth more than 10,000 of all of them put together. And tell them because of that, this is what we are doing in the church. There's nothing wrong with it. And when people, you know, what I realize is even now with my younger children, I am enforcing it early. Because I realize with the older ones, I was just leaving them. I leave it to you to see whether I am valuable. And I realize that it has made them not receive things that they would have received from me. You see, because where a prophet is not honored, that is where the miracle, whatever he has, doesn't work. In Mark 6, the Bible says Jesus could not. Verse 2, he couldn't. Verse 4, he couldn't. And he marveled. Then he said at that point, a prophet is not without honor. That's except in his own case. Where there is no honor in a person's, that's where things don't work. It may be very powerful like Jesus, but it won't work there. So when you have a church which doesn't honor the pastor is like some mulliganous person who has to come and struggle all over the place. And there is no honor. You rather honor visitors. You lay red carpet for visitors. No. As for me, I don't believe in that. I don't believe it. I say, I don't believe it. Yeah. I remember, you know, in my house, first of all, when I got married, and my wife was serving me, she served me. My wife is a very good cook. Those of you who don't know how to cook, and you're admiring things, learn how to cook. You bring food from afar, just the kitchen here and here, you can't bring food. Now, she would serve me with... She would serve me, all right? Then I asked her, which plate is this? Because I've seen some nicer plates in the house. Then I found out that some plates were reserved for visitors. So then I said, no. I'm the number one visitor here. I'm the chief of visitors in this house. I'm the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords here. I want the best plate in this house. And the best glass in this house. The best cup in this house. That's how I established my authority in my small kingdom with one subject. Yes. Yes. No, listen, let me, you see, you may think I'm always saying these kind of things, but honestly, it's nobody should be honored more than Bishop Moses Sonu in this church building. He's here. He's laboring, fighting, working. He must be. I'm sorry if I look like I'm always fighting somebody about something, but These things are real. Yes. Yes. So it's not just about clapping and shouting. No. You see, when Haman was about to be arrested, he didn't know he was the one. So Haman, they asked Haman, what must be done for someone who the king wants to honor? They asked Haman, what should be done for someone whom the king wants to honor? And Haman thought it was for him. Yes. And Haman said, he must be given the best robe. Ring must be put on his hands. He must be covered with gold. A chariot must be given to him. Somebody must go in front of him and say, hail, hail, hail. Hey! You see, when the honor is being done for you, you can describe it. And when the honor is being done for someone, say, oh, give him $1, give him 10 rands. Where? Yes, put it back there. I was waiting for it. The king said, what honor? Yes, no. There is nothing done for him. Then he asked him, what should be done for someone whom the king? And he said, to whom the king would delight to do honor? What shall be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor? What should be done? What shall we do? So Haman, in the next verse, said, let royal apparel, which the king himself uses to wear, should be put on him. This is how to honor people. You see, people know how to honor. And the horse that the king rides, the man should ride it. And the crown royal, which is set on his head. And let this apparel and horse be delivered to one of the king's noble priests, that they may array the man whom the king delighted to honor, and bring him on horseback through the street, and proclaim before him, this shall it be done to the man whom the king delighted to honor. You now know how to honor. You found out. I was in Reverend Steve's church. I told them, this man has built a church for you. How many people have built churches? Honor him. They don't honor him. Or they were not honoring him. You know, I told you, sometimes the people don't like me, but the pastor likes me. Because you look at, I'm always fighting with the people. But I'm fighting for a good cause. I'm teaching you. You see, you don't, people have heavily anointed, but you don't benefit from them. Jesus, there was power on him, raising dead power, all kinds of power, but he tried to lay hands, Mark 6, 2, 3, 4, it didn't work. So you are surprised when you see the person somewhere and he's so powerful. Wow! Because they honor. I've been to places, they honor me. So I said, what is this? He said, please, before you came here, this is the honor. That's where honor works. That's where ministry works. Where you are honored. That's why pastors in churches, I always encourage pastors to travel. And that's why I formed a board. Pastors are friends. They travel. Go when you go, you see that you are a hero. You go somewhere, you'll be surprised. Wow. I was one day with a pastor who is not honored at all. I was with him in Korea. And some of his church members had come with him. When they saw how Dr. Cho sent cars for us, limousine with a Korean driver and so on, then they were laughing at the person. Hey, you are a king here. It seems you are really enjoying yourself in Korea.
That's what they told him. Yeah, you are very important. He seems you are, hey, you are really feeling good here.
Hey, I'm up. So anyway, let's go on. Tell somebody, value people. Yeah. I'm not a funeral person. I'm not into too much honoring. When you die, we honor you and all. But if you have anything to do, do it when the person is around. Yeah. One day I was flying from Amsterdam to Accra. I was in the business class. There were not so many people. I was with people, and there was an unusual passenger in one of the seats. Shall I tell you who the unusual passenger? A very large bouquet of flowers was strapped with a seat belt in one of the seats. So big that it had its own seat in the business class. So I was wondering, what is this big bouquet, huge bouquet of flowers? It was a man whose mother or father had died, and he's going with these big flowers in business class. The man himself was in economy, but the flowers were in the business class. There was nowhere in the whole plane to keep his flowers. And the air hostesses were so impressed with the flowers, they also came to strap it in the seat belt. Do you think the dead person can see those flowers? You stand at the graveside and put it on, bah, and then you all go away. It's finished. If you have something to do, do it now. Do it now. Amen. Wow. Now, chapter 25. See ahead, prepare for the future. Number one, three things a leader should see coming. Number one, evil. A prudent man seeth the evil ahead. Proverbs 22, verse 3. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. Your eye must be ready to see the evil that is coming. There are a lot of evil things on the way. Don't chide yourself and say that, oh, I don't want to prophesy, but it's better to make yourself ready so that in case there is anything, you are ready. Because, you see, what makes you to be overcome is surprise. Surprise is the element. When two people are fighting, they are almost equally matched, but it's the surprise that makes one have the upper hand. You will never be surprised again in Jesus' name. Yeah. Number two, see the growth ahead. Growth. Thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. There's going to be growth. And I want to tell you, if you don't want to be part of the growth that is coming, then I want you to know God is going to raise up somebody else to enjoy that growth in the church. Are you going to allow somebody to come and take your place? Don't think that far. And number three, see the changes ahead. Amen. Chapter 26, always learn new things. Like always be learning something new. Like when I say learn, learn. Learn. Like you're actually learning a new thing. Amen. Ecclesiastes 4 verse 13. This is different from embracing new ideas. New ideas, like when there's a new suggestion, then you mock at it. God is saying, stop that. Be open to a new thing. But this one is actually decide, okay, I'm going to learn something I don't know at all. I'm on a project to learn. Like right now, I'm on a big project. Some of the people who are with me, we are on a big project. I've never done it before. In the ministry, is going to change everything I'm doing. So I'm on a major project. It's a major learning. We're actually coming to learn something brand new that we've never done before. If it works and we are able to learn it, my ministry is going far where it couldn't go before. I will not tell you. You want me to tell you what to do? And I have no intention of telling you what I'm talking about. But what I'm saying is that you must actually have, okay, now I'm learning how to preach. I'm learning how to have a conference. I'm learning how to have a TV ministry. I'm learning how to make the church grow. I'm learning how to even follow somebody. Some of us don't even know how to follow. I say, I'm following you. I'm not really following. I'm learning a new thing. It's so new to me that I struggle. If you are not, if there's, you see that you actually stagnated. Stop saying to people things, that's not my calling. That's not my calling. That's his gift. That's his gift. Start saying, no, I want to learn this whole thing. And humble yourself and say, we don't know or I don't know. And I want to actually just learn it so that I can do it. That's all. What do you think? You know, when I was going to write books, I had to learn how to write a book. And it took me years. Yes. When I wrote the book, I had employed somebody. It didn't work. I tried to transcribe my books. It didn't work. When I read it, what they translated, I said, this is not what I said. I said, I don't like the English. Then after some time, I was struggling. I said, the English has certain characteristics. I don't like it. Until I found another way to write, actually dictating and writing the book from scratch. Yes. All my books I wrote, there's no ghostwriter. Every single letter is what I sat down and wrote. Yes. There's no ghostwriter. Nobody writes anything for me. Nobody summarizes. It's not from a message transcribed. There's nothing like that. Yeah. Every single one. No, don't clap. Clap for some other reason. I'm just telling you that I had to learn it. Then when the books were there, I had to learn how to let people read the books. It was also another whole thing. Then after that, how to distribute the books for people. People are now reading the books in different, it's another, it's a whole thing to learn. How to translate. If you like, try. I've done translation. I remember I translated several books into Spanish. Then somebody came who could speak Spanish. Person looked and said, this is not good. You can't use it. I translated all the books, some books into French. Then the real French people came. They looked and said, no. Then I learned that you don't, if somebody speaks two languages, you always translate into the person's original language. So if you don't translate into a language you learned. I don't know if you understand.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So let's say if I come here and I learn how to speak Zulu. I'm very good in Zulu. I'm not allowed to translate to Zulu. English to Zulu. No, I can't. I must translate Zulu to English because my first language is English. That's the rule. I've spent thousands of dollars learning this. And those who are not supposed to translate, they'll tell, oh, we can do it. Very good, we'll do it. And they'll charge you $10,000. Collect all the money and they can. When the real people come and they really say, Look, we translated a book into Hindi. When we took it to India, they said, we don't know what language it is. I mean, they don't know the language that we have translated. I'm talking about learning. Learning. To have a book and a book ministry is not a small thing. It's a curve like this. Yes. If you invite me to a book fair in America, I will not go. I should go and say, oh, come, this is where people sell books in America. And this, I'll say, oh, never me you. Never you me. I've I've done all those things. Now, you don't know what I learned. I'm just trying to tell you that everything that is done, there's learning. And I'm currently on learning a brand new thing. I pray about it every day. Every night, I pray. Every night. Four signs that you are learning new things. Number one. First sign that you are not learning, I should say. When you don't have any new ideas to implement. It shows that you are not learning anything new. There's nothing new that you are doing. Number two, when you don't read much. Anybody who doesn't read much, you're not likely to have anything to you. Number three, when there's no pressure in your life. Do you see? There's no mad pressure. When they're under pressure. And number four, when nobody criticizes you. If you're on a learning curve, people will criticize you. Trying to stop you from what you are doing. All these are signs. When I started crusades, I was under pressure. Miracles, crusades, traveling, new. It's not small. You know, those of you who preach Sunday sermon, when I think of preaching Sunday sermon, 40 minutes preaching, it sounds so easy to me. They're standing from morning to evening, talking. It's so much easier. It's 40. When the person says, "Oh, we only allow 30 minutes," which is it's so simple. Because 30 minutes, I can preach for 10 hours. Oh, you don't know that I can preach for 10 hours. Yeah. You are not under pressure. It shows you are not learning something new. Amen. You've never had a camp meeting before. When you have a camp meeting, you see the pressure. You are trying to do something brand new. When you don't feel stress, you are not doing a new thing. When you sense stress or the danger of somebody laughing at you or the danger of somebody making fun of you, you are learning something new. That's why you are in danger of somebody laughing at you. Let's say you go back and you say, "I want to learn how to be a strong leader. And I'm going to practice being a strong, commanding my troops." Hey! You start to see her. They will say, "Well, you talk differently. Is it that Bishop Dag Howard Mills you are following, eh? Don't follow that man. You know that guy." Then you have to be strong. And say, never say a word about somebody that it will be your last moment in my presence. And then the people will say, "Hey, you have really changed, though. You've really, really changed. You've really, really changed. You never used to talk like this." Hey. You go and try to be strong. You go and exercise strength. Make an announcement that all of you from this age to this age, wait behind on the left. Wait where? Behind on the left after church. Hey. They've never heard that from you before. I said, where did this pastor? Is this some of those Ghanaian influences again? And then you call the person, I hear you said something Ghanaian. He said, "Listen, let me tell you, let me just make something clear to you. Never mention Ghanaian this. We are when in Christ, there's neither male, female, Ghanaian, Zulu, African this. Never! I don't want to hear that." Wow. And the people will say, yeah. That you start to feel the tension of the different issues. And you see some people who have decided to fight you or leave. Right? If you are going to behave like that, that's not how we knew you. When we joined this church, we were attracted to your gentle nature. We were attracted to your pastoral character. We were attracted to your spiritual demeanor. We were attracted to your shepherdorial nature. We were attracted to your calm spirit. But now we sense something different. You have changed, Pastor. And you tell the person, this is just the beginning of the changes. It's the beginning of the changes. These are the beginning of the changes. Then they'll go back and say, we've lost our pastor. Our pastor has lost his mind. And you answer and say, I'm lost in Christ. Then the person will say, you have an answer for everything. Say, yes, I have an answer for everything because I've thought about it. Tell somebody, I'm learning something new. I'm on a learning curve and there's stress in my life. If you stress me, I'll cast you out. So just calm down. Wow. And finally, it's time to close, but you see now. Be ready for a long fight. Chapter 28. Joshua 11, verse 18. And Joshua made war a long time with all those things, with all those kings. And there was not a city that made peace with the children of Israel, save the Hivites, the inhabitants of Gibeon, and all other they took in battle. For it was of the Lord to harden their hearts, that they should come against Israel in battle, that he might destroy them utterly, and that they might have no favor, but that he might destroy them as the Lord commanded Moses. Amen. Be ready for a long. How many are ready for a long fight? Yeah, I'm glad about that. Four things that require a long fight. Number one, building a church, a large church, requires a long fight. There is no very young pastor of a big church. He's been around for some time. Unless he just inherited it. Number two, walking in love requires a long fight. How many know that there are many things that will prick you along the way in all your relationships and your walking in love? Yes. When you see husband and wife together, living happily ever after years, it's not because they are different from you, but it's because they have been walking in love and forgiving for a long time. They are not taking into account whatever they have suffered. Yes. Love does not take into account the things you suffer. Yes. So love is about forgiving, but not for a short while. You have to forgive for a long time. Now, a lot of husband and wife love to present what we call the perfect picture. Husband and wife will pose together. Outside happiness and inside sadness. And they'll hold each other like this. I know a couple, they love to kiss in public and take pictures. They'll do, but in the house, not even the arm will rest. They don't, the arm don't even touch. The right arm and the other arm. As if they have leprosy. This one is separated by leprosy. But when they come out, take a picture. PDA, public display of affection. PDA. Do you want public display or in reality display? Brothers, do you want to be kissed outside for pictures or you want to be kissed inside for reality? Inside or outside light? Do you want inside light or outside light? Hey! So, inside. So, Bible says Joshua made war for a long time. So, he fought for a long time. And the Lord hardened the heart. The hearts were hardened. They never signed agreement. Oh, let's stop fighting. No. It was of the Lord that he should harden their hearts. So sometimes some things that you are fighting, God has hardened it that you should never change. Hey. Are you ready for a long fight? Now, two things. I'm giving you four things that involve a long fight. Number one is long fight for church growth, church work. Number two, long fight for walking in love. Number three, long fight for walking in holiness and temptations. Now, Abraham was 99 years old. In Genesis, I think 22, the Bible says, and the Lord did tempt Abraham. Somebody who is 99, we thought temptations were over in your 20s. Look at that. It came to pass after this in that God did tempt Abraham. Now, it must have been 100 and something temptations. He would have thought that he's ready to die. But he's not ready to die. He's ready for temptations. Abraham was asked to go and climb a mountain. He climbed the mountain for 3 days. Mountain climbing. I don't know about South African girls, whether you like climbing mountains just for nothing. Do they like climbing girls, South African girls? But Ghana girls, they don't like such things. So they don't like walking around in mountains, climbing this and no. Abraham was sent to climb for, Bible says, and he went 3 days journey, three days. Climbing mountains with wood. God was testing and tempting him. So those of us who are feeling that now, I'm 43. Temptations are, oh, it's not true. Yes, it's a long fight. In fact, there's actually an era where you are more prone to divorce. There's a stage, there's an age you are more prone to divorce than other ages. And it's not the younger ages. You see, when you get older, you analyze and say, I've suffered for a long time. He looks and says, what is this? It's not necessary. Why have I suffered for so long? Children are grown. Nobody's in the house. I've been through all the, what is the point? I'm staying in the house with this person. The person has made the atmosphere difficult. When the person passed, doesn't say hello, doesn't. Hey! And these days, the new wigs that have come, you see the person beautiful in the church. When you see the person, the head has become a different head.
Yeah.
outside light and no inside light. Outside glory, no inside glory. So after 20 years, some people look and say, me at all, what is my problem? Why am I going through all this? So holiness and temptation is not for just 20s. And God did tempt Abraham. 99 plus. So ask your neighbor, by the way, how old are you? Are you 99 yet? Are you 99 yet? And tell the person, get ready for temptations to survive. You are not 99. You have to survive your temptations. And Joshua made war a long time. And the last thing that you need to fight for that takes a long time is anointing. It takes a long time. Elisha followed Elijah for years and years. Amen. Now, just to go back, because I sense this is one of the highlights of this meeting, is as we close, is the point about being strong. Now, in pastoral work and shepherding work, being strong is not about slapping people. Neither is it about shouting. We don't shout. Neither is it about being angry. Your strength primarily is manifested through your decisions. Decisions. So when the president of Manila took a decision that if you are 18 years old and you are outside your house after 10 o'clock, you'll be arrested. It takes strength. Because how many countries, 18, you must be inside. They are the ones who go out. And then to say that if you are found outside, then the parents, dignified people in their houses, you come to arrest because my son is outside. Can you imagine? So your decisions, which you stick and stand by, they are the revelation of your strength. Hallelujah. They are the what? The revelation of your strength as a leader. Yes. So, be decisive. Take hard and strong decisions. But before you take the decision, think about it. Because your decision will be tested. Everybody will have his opinion about your decision. And then, that is it. Amen? Even marriage, when you say, I'm going to marry this person, people will come and say, why? When I wanted to marry my wife, I think she had a sister. The sister said, anyway. It's like, what type of person is this you are bringing? And then she said, anyway, if that's what you've decided. So, the decision you take, people are going to come up about the decision, and it will test your strength. Stand to your feet. Our time is up. That's all we have time for. One more. More points. I thought you were going somewhere. I heard you were going somewhere. And those who are going have left. Let's pray. Father, thanks a million for your blessing and your word you've given to us, strengthening us, and giving us strong leadership in Jesus' mighty name. Thanks for blessing everyone. You have done a great work. We'll never be the same again. Our ministries will never be the same again. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, some of you have to take a decision that you will not drive faster than 100 kilometers an hour again till you die. It may be a prophecy. Shh. Listen, I'm not joking. You know, I've been in an accident before, somersaulting. That was how I learned it. So I'm just telling you, because maybe you need to listen to what I'm saying. It may be a decision you have to take. Strong. This is a change. It's up to you. Amen. Father, whatever wants to take away life is cut off. Amen. The glory has come. Amen. And the glory is permanent. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Give the Lord a mighty clap offering, and you may be seated.